And this is what we are groomed for in our culture. We are spoon-fed these things from the time we come out of the womb, that success and happiness depends on the things of the world. The riches of the world depends on being rich or popular or famous or talented or skilled or commercially successful or achieving great things or having numbers and quantities of relationships, that somehow in all of those things we're going to somehow be satisfied and content and find happiness. And we can give ourselves completely over to the pursuit of those things and come up empty-handed. And empty and hurting. And some of the most successful people you see, I mean rock stars, athletes, who are paid millions of dollars, money I wouldn't even know how to spend, find themselves sitting alone in a room one night saying, is that all there is? And wondering if they should even put an end to everything. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Child stars had riches, fame, popularity, talent, and intelligence. But riches won't save you. Especially if you're living a destructive lifestyle, riches will only accelerate the thing and bring you down faster, because now there's nothing standing between you and the things that are destroying you. Riches can never fill that emptiness and that hole inside of us. The singer for Three Dog Night, I'm really dating myself here. Some of you guys who lived during the 70s remember them. They were hugely successful. The lead singer for them at the height of their success was worth $30 million. How many people here today have ever been worth $30 million in your life? How many people today are familiar with the little envelope you get from the bank that says, you missed again, $25 surcharge? Me and the bank are on good terms. First name basis. $30 million, and a few years later, he was broke, living in an alley, doing whatever he could do to scrape together enough money for his next fix, because heroin burned through every penny that he had. How do you burn through $30 million in 2 years? Riches won't do it. Jesus said they sprout wings and fly away. I personally know of families who inherited $100,000 when someone died, and by the next year they were asking for money again. Multiple families, over the years. Fame and popularity won't do it. People love you for what entertainment you can bring into their life. And then as soon as the fame disappears, they're gone. And you can become addicted to that fame too. How many people that you see are well beyond their prime who are out there still trying to get a hold of that fame fix, still trying to draw a crowd, and they're out there and the place is half empty and they're living a pipe dream, living in the past, because they need that fame to somehow love themselves and feel worthy of being loved. Talent and skill won't do it. Intelligence and education won't do it either. You know, an evil person who is very intelligent, a brilliant evil person is only more dangerous. And it's sad, not to take away from those who want to bring education to those who don't have it. That's a very noble thing. But if they think that alone, without Jesus Christ, is going to rescue these people from destruction, it won't. It only makes them more skilled at being evil. And sometimes the more talented we are, it just means the better we're able to cover our tracks. I have known of very successful attorneys who were hardcore alcoholics. But because they were skillful men, they were able to cover their tracks and keep their jobs when anybody else might have long since been fired. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it only leads to death. But I'm here to testify today that there is also a way that leads to life. There is a way that leads to God. There is a way that leads to peace that passes understanding. There is a way that leads to wholeness in our soul, to joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is a way that leads to a place where our soul delights and dances in gratitude for all that God has done in our life, that celebrates life, that wakes up in the morning instead of wanting to crawl under the bed to escape from everything that we fear, that wakes up in the morning and cries out to God, "Thank you, Lord, for the life you gave me. I can't wait to see what you're going to do in my life today. I don't have much, but I've got you. Thank God I have you. You're all I need." There is a way that leads to life and health and joy and forgiveness. Jesus said the gate to that way is narrow and the way is difficult and few there are that find it. But when Thomas asked him, "Lord, show us the way, tell us the way, how do we get there?" Jesus looked at Thomas and said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." He said, "You're looking at him. Reach out and touch me because you'll be touching him. I am the way. The thief doesn't come but to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the way." Jesus Christ is the way that leads to life. He himself, not simply what he teaches, although yes, very much everything that he teaches, but not simply what he teaches, but he himself, the living God, incarnate in human flesh, that died and rose again and now sits at the very throne of God, who sends his Spirit to come and dwell inside of folks like us, so that we can know him, this Jesus who hung and bled for you and me, who died to wash away all of our sin and all of our wickedness and all of our unrighteousness and to make us stand clean and whole and pure and righteous before God, who washed us with his own blood, who came to set captives free, to fill us with his Holy Spirit, to break the curses that tie up our life and liberate us and show us life. This Jesus who fills us and baptizes us with his Holy Spirit, who lives to pray and intercede for us, who is at this very moment praying and interceding before God for you, because he lives for that. This Jesus whom the Bible said is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the bread of life. He is the cornerstone of the church. He is the day spring from on high. He is the faithful and true witness. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He's the horn of our salvation. He is the very image of the invisible God. He is the King of glory, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the light of the world, the bright and the morning star, the Prince of Peace, the resurrection and the life. He is the Son of righteousness that arises with healing in his wings. He's the true vine. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God and the everlasting Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the way. I thank God the night that I found him, after I'd searched for him through so much stuff and sickness and ugliness and darkness, when my mom invited me to that crusade, and I thought, what the heck? What? I got nothing else going on. I'll kill a few hours listening to some music. What the heck? And much to my shock and awe, in that place when I was broken to pieces, I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he put me back together, and he gave me life, and he gave me meaning, and he gave me a reason to live. He gave me a true purpose. In him, I found my reason for being. I was not some speck on this planet just trying to skate by and avoid getting killed before my time. In him, I found life. I discovered that he knew me. He knew me. He knows you. He knows you. I'm not trying to sell anybody a package. He knows you. Man, he knows. Oh my gosh. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows more than we know about ourselves. And He loves us anyway. Loves us passionately anyway. Through all the screw-ups and all the mistakes and all the things that we have so hopelessly and impossibly messed up beyond repair, He loves us and sees us and wants to take our life and make something beautiful beyond words with it. He says, I know the plans I have for you to give you a future and a hope. Plans of good and not evil to give you a future and a hope. If you ever doubt it, look at the cross that He hung on in order to bring it about in your life. That's the price He paid so that you could inherit everything that He has laid out for you. He wants to show you things you have never dreamed possible in your life. He wants to show you beauty beyond measure and glory beyond imagination. And that's how bad He wants to show it to us. Because that's what stood between us and what God has. And He says, I'll take it out of the way at the cost of my own life. He is the way. And so when the Bible tells parents in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. Who was he talking about there? Jesus. Jesus. Train him up in the Lord Jesus. Train him to know Him. Train them to love Him. Train them to follow Him. Train them to trust Him. Train them to serve Him, to walk with Him, to love on Him, to follow Him. Because in Him is life, and life more abundantly. He is the greatest treasure you could conceivably give to your children. And without Him, they have nothing. It turns to dust in their fingers. How in the world do we do that? How do I take this precious soul laying here in my arms? How can I help Him know Him? I'm just a dude, man. I'm just something He snatched out of the fire, man. I'm just something He rescued out of the mud. How can I help Him to know Him? I'll say it in one phrase, through His Word. Anybody have a Bible in the house? Hold it up. Thank you, man. Thank you, Dave. Through His Word. That's what He gave us. That is not simply print on a page. That book is alive. That book has power. The Holy Spirit breathed those words out through the apostles and prophets, and those words have life. That is the most powerful object in the universe. That thing that looks like nothing but a book is more powerful than the most powerful atomic bomb that's ever been built. That book has the power to give life to a soul. That book has the power to recreate what has been destroyed, to create out of nothing, as it were. When we get saved, God sends His Spirit in our heart, and it changes our heart. It transforms our heart, doesn't it? Amen? We get saved, He gives us a new heart, changes our motive, changes our values, changes what drives us. All of a sudden, we don't want that junk anymore. We want the stuff. We want the life. We want the goodness, man. We want the light to fill and flood our lives. He changes our motivation. He fills our heart with love for God and love for one another. He does that through His Spirit, but He sends His Word to change our mind. He sends His Spirit to change our heart. He sends His Word to change our mind and illuminate our thinking so that we see with new eyes and understand with a new understanding. And we gain insight and wisdom into the things of life and of God and into ourselves. Suddenly things fall into place. Suddenly things make sense. Suddenly the path that was darkness and blackness before is clear in front of us.